Please join us as we light the chalice and say these words in unison. In the light of truth and the warmth of love, we gather to seek, to find, and to share. Thank you very much for being here on this glorious morning at First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin. We have the Reverend Ed Brock this morning as our worship leader, and my name is Vicki Bailey Miller, and I am your lay leader this morning. So welcome, everyone. Now, as we all connect to one another and to our community, let's affirm our mission statement at First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin. You may read it here in your program or see these beautiful words here. We gather in community to nourish souls, transform lives, and do justice. And now the Reverend Ed Brock is going to honor our staff.
A lot has been going on for the last 2 years at this congregation. You might have noticed. And throughout that entire period, you had a staff at this congregation working hard, laboring daily, dedicated, and helping this congregation to keep the ship of this church steady. I share as a pastor that you are very deeply fortunate to have such a dedicated staff as I have been privileged to come to know over these last 9 months. This staff has worked hard to keep to a minimum all the many ups and downs and challenges that you as a congregation have known over the last 2 years. 90%, at least 90% of the staff's work happens behind the scenes in ways and in places that you as a congregant coming week after week and even being involved in the church could not see. But people tend to notice when something doesn't happen right. You might be aware of that. But when they're moving along, people don't notice. And there's been a lot of things that have moved along because of your wonderful staff. That staff has stayed focused and on track and as non-anxious as humanly possible in handling big and small surprises and allowing this congregation to stay focused on its core task this year, which was to raise money and to call a new settled ministry to help lead you into the future. Without this dedicated staff that you have here at this church, this congregation would very likely be in a less sunny place than it is, in fact, right now. And given the challenges and changes and fluctuations that have happened here over the last 2.5 years, and the fact that one could argue the congregation is understaffed, it is quite an accomplishment just to hold things together, and that is what has happened, and more than that. So when you see a staff member sometime after today, could you please hug them and kiss them if they're open to it? On the cheek, please. And say to them, we love you. Because they have kept the iceberg under the water so that this ship of church did not run upon something. If I seem nervous this morning, it's because I put a little pressure on myself in regard to the sermon title. Greatest farewell speech in history. I know I can do it. Thank you, brother. the pressure was so great that at the last minute I decided to leave home, the one that was the greatest one of speech of all history, and substitute one that was the second greatest. Now, let me start out by saying something that's very important. As you know, churches sometimes conduct a review of the performance of interim ministers. Now, as a way of trying to help the congregation out, I have created an evaluation tool which you can use for this purpose. I'm going to read it out to you so that you will know when you see it to keep it and to throw away all the other ones it might have. Here's how it reads. We ask you to fill out this brief survey on the interim ministry of Edward Brock. Please answer all questions objectively and honestly. These surveys need not be signed, allowing you to be completely candid and without any inhibitions in answering. In fact, we encourage you not to write your name so that you can really open up and let the full contents of your unconscious mind take flight in a blaze of glory. First question. Of the following possibilities, rate your first, second, and third choice for your favorite activity in the world. First choice is to have your teeth drilled without Novocaine by a nearsighted dentist with a hangover. The second is to go to a fundamentalist tent revival to hear a sermon on the rapture. And the third is to listen to a sermon given by Edward Brock. Be objective when you get this now. The second question is, rate the format of the program services he has conducted. Number one, the best of any at this church. Number two, the best of any at any church in history. Number three, the best I've ever seen any place at any time. Three, rate the content of the material he presented. Please select one of the following. Original, idea-filled, thought-provoking, and extremely helpful. B, original, idea-filled, thought-provoking, extremely helpful, and inspirational. C, if I had to travel by donkey 40 miles over harsh terrain of southern Arizona in August through wildfires, hearing him on Sunday morning would have been more than worth the trip. Four, rate the personality and style of Edward Brock. A, warm, encouraging, interesting, and charming. B, intellectual, but down to earth, marvelously engrossing. C, inspirational and uplifting, exciting yet calming, challenging yet reassuring. Five, how would you describe Edward Brock? A, magnificent. B, by God, he is good. C, I never believed in saints until I met him. Six, name the one area where he could stand improvement. Please underline one of the following. A, he is too modest. B, he has a tendency to splash a bit when he walks on water. C, when he multiplied the loaves, by the time I got there, he did not have any whole wheat raisin bread left. Thank you for your time and candor in writing this survey. So please be on the lookout for that. Now, in a more serious vein, let me say thank you. Thank you for the chance and the opportunity you have given me to be here with you. Thank you for the opportunity to walk for a while with you on your journey, sometimes through some precarious fields. Thank you for the opportunity and the privilege for me to see up close your process of renewal and healing and the people who helped to make that happen. Thank you for the chance to get to know you. Thank you for all the inspiration you have given me. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to see you grow and develop as a church. And thank you most especially for giving me the chance to see up close the example of so many people who put community before self without denigrating self, but put the community before self and have as their goal and object to improve the well-being of this community and who care about its future. That's an awesome and privileged sight. Many things have been done over the last 10 months. I need not go over all of them, but things have happened for which you can feel a very considerable pride of accomplishment. And most important of all, as this year ends, you end with the very happy event of a virtually unanimous call of your settled ministry. Essentially, a virtually unanimous call. And most important of all, it is a good and a solid match, which will bring you many, many years of health and prosperity as a congregation. But there are other important signs of health and well-being here that impress me deeply, that are much harder to quantify or measure, but are very important. For one thing, it feels good to be here. It feels good to be here on Sunday morning. It feels good to be in your meetings. It feels good to be in board meetings. It feels like a good place to be. And there are many people who have commented to me about that very, very thing. And I know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that this church is safe, that it is on its way, that it has passed its way out of the darkness, that it has crossed over from a realm of chaos, and that its vitality and thrivingness in the future is assured. I want to leave you with one central thought. One thing. Something big is about to happen at this church. Are you ready? Are you really ready? Do you know you need to be ready? You have done things as a congregation over the last 2 years that have created the indispensable foundation for a future different than anything from your past. You have established policy-based governance. I can't tell you how important that is, because it enables you to function as an organization. I know that doesn't sound fascinating or interesting, but it is essential and vital to a congregation. It allows you to move forward, to do things, to actualize possibilities, this policy-based governance. You are unencumbered by debt. This gives you financial flexibility. Most impressive to me, and I keep saying this to people, and I'm not sure people grasp the significance, but most important to me is that every Sunday, you have an unusually high number of visitors. This church is not doing anything to get them to come here. They are coming here because they have made the effort to get here. There is a pent-up need for First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin in the Austin community. How else could it be? No advertising, but they show up. You have the right demographics, but you have a motivated right demographics, and that's corroborated by your high flow of traffic. You are surrounded by what could politely be called a stringent conservativeness, but that works for you because it goads people to come to a place like this congregation. You have a very good, very solid staff. You saw them in front of you this morning. Dedicated, longevity, committed. It's not just a job, it's a vocation, it's a calling for many, if not all. That's wonderful. And your staff will complement your incoming settled minister in a way that I think is remarkably balanced. Last but not least, you have just called one of the most mature, most inspiring, pastorally skilled, and wonderful speakers and church leaders in American religious liberal life. Now, all of these things are leading you in a certain direction. Are you ready? Because you are headed towards a certain destiny that's been created by all the things that have been set into play. There's a Greek word called kairos that helps describe your situation. The ancient Greeks had two words for time, chronos and kairos. Chronos refers to chronological or sequential time, calendar time. Kairos dealt with the subjective significance of time and the fact that some moments in time are propitious for change and opportunity where others are not. Kairos means the opportune moment, a moment in which something special happens or can happen, the appointed or the crucial time. It is a point in time in which things come together, as they have at this church, to present opportunities that are not found at other times and in other places, and which present the opportunity, however, and the need for persons to respond with decision and action. You have been through a lot as a church, but right now is your kairos moment. 7 years from now, you could be one of the leading congregations in the whole world of Unitarian Universalist churches. And to fulfill your kairos moment, I think one thing needs to happen. It is happening, but it needs to sink in deeply and to spread widely. And it is this. It is a simple thing, but it's difficult. It is for you as a congregation to realize you've got a special destiny. You are not following the destiny of a typical 150-member, 200-member UU congregation that's out there throughout the country. You have been chosen by fate and destiny, whatever you want to call it, to be one of those special churches that has the opportunity to be something really extraordinary that can be a beacon to others. And this thing that needs to happen for that to happen is that you need to begin to see everything you are doing in the framework of your mission and ends as a congregation. Let me tell you a story. In a church I am familiar with, there was in a city somewhere in the Southeast a theater group that was run out of its leased space because it produced a play that somewhat offended the typical understanding of what religion was in that city. They were thrown out of their space. The church, the local Unitarian church, took them in. And to do that, it had to take its stage, like yours here, and extend it, and to make the space larger, and to cover the stage and the general area with things that people were unfamiliar with, and frankly, did not look like a church. And there was an argument which arose about that. Some people said, "This offends me aesthetically. This spiritual, sacred space, which we have claimed as our religious space, is disfigured. We don't like it." And other people said, "However, we are following our mission as a congregation, and we are following the mission as reflected in the Unitarian Universalist movement." I could say much more about that, but there was this debate about, are we going to adjust ourselves to the aesthetics of this situation, or are we going to follow our mission, which means at this moment to help these people? That church decided that they would follow the mission rather than the individual tribal interests of the subgroups of some people in the congregation. that church went on to become one of the most thriving congregations in the country. Well, the more this congregation and its leaders can think in terms of what is our mission, what are our ends, and how can we align everything we do with that, the better. You have an important destiny as a church. Your Kairos moment is right here. I know that you will seize the opportunity. Now, finally, I wish to close on a very important note. Namely, it is the subject of my going away gift. Now, a lot of people have been talking about and worrying about and wondering about what type of gift to give me as a going away gift. Well, wait a minute. I think it might only be a few people that have been worrying about that. Well, let me qualify that remark. Actually, no one has said anything about that. But you know, I know that there's a lot of people that are really worried about that. So here's what I'd like for you to do. Next Sunday, in the cry room, there will be a man with a video camera. And I would like you, if you are so disposed, to go in that room after the services, and it'll be for the Sunday after as well, and to say a word or two about me, and that video will go to my dear wife and my two children, because I have been away from them quite a bit this year, and I would like to know that they have testimony that my being away was of benefit to somebody. More on that later. For now, let me just say thank you for the gift of being you. Thank you for the gift of enabling me to be here. And thank you for being who you are. I share with you this benediction. May an awareness of the gifts of life and the preciousness of each moment abide in us. May the memories we gather here give us hope for the future and for our lives. May the love we feel here bring strength to our hearts and resolve to our minds as we let our principles guide our deeds. And may the peace which passes all understanding be in us and among us until we meet again. Amen.
This is a presentation of the First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin. For more information, visit our website at www.austinuu.org.